Find your place in the Word of God, and we'll read the Word of God here. In Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through to verse 12, God's Word says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted." Amen. You may be seated, and we'll wait upon the Lord. We'll ask him to bless the public reading of his own inspired word tonight. Let's pray. Young people, you pray that the Lord would speak to you, and that he would work in your heart tonight. Older folks alike, and I'm saying older folks, but the rest of you, you pray that the Lord would speak to you. Maybe you're here and you're not yet saved. You've never yet come to the Lord for salvation. I want you to pray tonight. Maybe you're not in the way of praying, but I want you to pray that the Lord would speak to you tonight so clearly through his word, and that he would save you by his grace. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the written and inspired word of God. We thank thee for the Christ of God who still speaks unto his people. Lord, we thank thee that our God is no longer upon the cross. He's no longer in the tomb. He's no longer in the grave, but he sits high and lifted up on the throne of glory. Lord, we thank thee tonight. Jesus still saves. And Lord, we pray that tonight you would save young people. Pray that you'd save many people here in Portadown Free Presbyterian Church. Oh Lord, speak through me. I pray that people wouldn't go home thinking about a preacher or thinking about a message, but that they would go home saying, the Lord spoke to me tonight. Lord, give us such an experience. Bless the Reverend Abernathy. Let him recover from his sickness speedily. And Lord, let him continue his ministry here. Lord, bless him. Bless the work of God here in Portadown. Be with us now, we pray. Give us help in the preaching. Lord, give me zeal. Give me love for souls. Give me passion, I pray. But we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Young people, one thing that you do that I'm sure irks your mothers and fathers or more amazes them day by day is how long you can sleep. Young people love to sleep. They sit up half the night on their phones or doing whatever else into the middle of the night, and then they sleep half the day through then, trying to recover from their sleep. And certainly when I was younger, I'm still young, but whenever I was younger, you could sleep nearly anywhere. You could sleep in the car, you could sleep on the bus, you could sleep in the middle of school. I did that many a time. And you can sleep in the worst places and the best places. But I want to read today about a man who fell asleep at the worst time and in the worst place. And this man was a man called Eutychus. And he fell asleep in the worst place because he fell asleep in church. Maybe that's a problem that you have battled with over the years. It's a problem I faced. There's nothing as hateful, sure there's not, when you're sitting in church and you're suited and booted, you're ready to go, you're ready to hear the preacher, and then that drowsiness settles in. Maybe the heat's on. Maybe you've had a hard day. Maybe the kids were up last night and you start to feel that weariness. And maybe you're really looking forward to hearing the message, and yet that head starts to bob and those eyes start to close and you're annoying yourself. And you're saying, would you not waken up and would you not switch on and listen here? But you can't help it, and your body is just shutting down and you're battling and you're fighting. There's nothing as bad. So we're watching you tonight, young people. Don't be falling asleep. We're watching you especially. But that's what's happening in our passage that we've read tonight, Acts chapter 20. That's what's happening to this young man called Eutychus. Just to give you a word or two of context, at this time the Apostle Paul is in Troas, and it's the Lord's Day. And in verse number 7, we find that he's preaching at the evening gospel service. So the setting is not dissimilar from our setting here tonight. It's the evening gospel service. Paul's the preacher. But as he's preaching, what we find is that it was a special sort of night. Yes, he was going out on the morrow to continue his missionary endeavors, but this was a night that the young people were invited to. Because we read in verse number 9 that there was one there, a certain young man named Eutychus. And so not only was this an evening gospel service, but it was an evening gospel service with a youth focus because the young people were there. The young people were under the sound of God's precious word. And so the setting really is no different to our setting tonight. There's a gospel service. The young people have been invited in and under the sound of the gospel. And yet it was at this youth evening service that a great tragedy took place and a subsequent miracle took place as well. You know, we often think in history of the rise and fall of empires. You think of the rise and fall of Rome. You think of the rise and fall of the Grecian Hellenistic Empire. Well, tonight I want us to think about the fall and rise of Eutychus, the man who fell and yet the man who rose again. And I want to give a particular emphasis to our young people in the meeting tonight. And I just want to notice a few simple things about the fall and rise of Eutychus. I want you firstly to see the sleep of this young man. The sleep of this young man. Because we read in verse number 9 that Eutychus being fallen into a deep sleep. It's very easy to say, well, what was he doing sleeping in church? But in one sense, we can't really blame Eutychus for falling asleep. Verse number 7, we read that this meeting had continued until midnight. Oh, that the Lord would give us meetings like that again. Sometimes we're looking at our watch to make sure we're right within an hour. But this meeting goes on to midnight. Paul was in no rush to finish his sermon that night. And the meeting, it begins to roll on. Maybe, we don't know. Maybe Eutychus had been working that day. Maybe he'd been down in the market. Maybe he'd been at the docks and he was weary with his day's work. And now he comes to church and that meeting goes on so long. And you know, what we also read in verse number 8 is that there were many lights in the upper chamber. You have your lovely bulbs and your LEDs and there's many lights here in Portadown. But they didn't have LEDs back there in Troas. What they had were torches. And I'm sure if you had those open flames and those torches and you put a pile of people into the room, I'm sure it'd get pretty hot and pretty stuffy and pretty cozy and pretty conducive to sleep. And certainly it would have been difficult to stay awake. In fact, I would imagine that's why Eutychus was at the window, to get a breath of fresh air, to get a breath of that midnight air to try and waken himself up. Nevertheless, there's a lesson to be learned because Eutychus fell asleep. And here's a young man, folks, and as the gospel's being preached, as Christ is being presented, as the blood is being set before the congregation, here's a young man, he's switched off. He's asleep to the things of God. He's not paying attention. He's not thinking about his soul. He's not taking the preacher seriously. He's switched off completely, sleeping as to the need of his soul. And you know, I believe there's many young people in our province, maybe even here in Portadown, just like Eutychus. Oh, you come to church and we love to see you. And you're here at the gospel service and we love to see you under the sound of the gospel. But yet, though you're here, as Eutychus was at that meeting, like him, you're sleeping. You're uncaring. You're apathetic as to the need of your soul. Yes, you might know the truths of the gospel. You might know about Christ and what he did at Calvary and how he rose again, and we'll be thinking about that next week at Easter. But it's never really took a dealing with you. It's never really impacted you. It's never really changed you and took a dealing with your heart. And really tonight you have to confess, young person, older person alike, that though you know the gospel, you're really sleeping as to the great need of your soul. There's three things I want you to notice about the sleep of this young man. The first thing I want you to notice is that it was a deep sleep. We find that wordage in verse 9. Eutychus was fallen into a deep sleep. Now, you can't blame his sleep on the preacher. If you fell asleep tonight, I'd understand. But Paul was the preacher on this occasion. Paul, probably the mightiest preacher after the Lord Jesus Christ. How could you fall asleep under Paul? If a preacher came and he was monotonous and he wasn't lively and he just preached some dry theology, you might understand sleeping. But not Paul, this man who preached with fire and with passion and with zeal, with a loving concern for souls. And yet withal, Eutychus was unresponsive. Eutychus cared little for the need of his soul. And I wonder, is that you tonight, my friend? I wonder, you've had many preachers come and pour it down. You have the Reverend Abernathy, you had the Reverend Park this morning. I'm sure you've had many other evangelists coming and presenting the gospel to you. And yet, despite the preachers that have come and stood in this very place, you're still asleep as to the need of your soul. You're still not really taking the matter of salvation seriously. It's as if you're drifting, just coasting through life. And you know, young people, you especially, we can be very alert and very awake to certain things in our lives. When the GCSEs come up, when the A-levels come up, when relationships are on the horizon, when we're trying to hold down a job, when we're trying to meet up with friends and have a social life. We care for these things. We pay attention to these things. We guard these things and maintain these things. And yet how easy it is to be asleep to your greatest need, your need of Christ, your need of salvation. You see, the Bible tells us that we are all sinners. Young person, older person alike, from the youngest child here to the oldest person, we're all sinners before God. Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our lives, each and every one of us, from the moment we're born, are set on a course for hell. Set on that road that leads to destruction. And my friend tonight, if you die outside of Christ, young person, if you die without knowing the Lord as your Savior, you'll go out into that lost eternity. You'll go out into hell and torment forever. And so young person, older person, I plead with you, wake up. Wake up as to the need of your soul. Wake up as to the reality of eternity. Wake up to the offer of the Lord Jesus Christ as it's presented in the gospel. Don't sleep when it comes to the things of God. Wake up, for redemption draweth nigh. Jesus can save you. And so this young man was in a deep sleep. I'll tell you something else. He was also in a dangerous sleep. There's bad places to fall asleep. And certainly Eutychus found just about the worst place to fall asleep. Verse 9 tells us that there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. Now when you think of that word window, you've your lovely stained glass and frosted glass windows in this church. That wasn't the sort of window Eutychus was sitting beside. Back in those days, you didn't have double glazing. You didn't have those window panes or shutters. All you had was an open hole in a wall. That's what the window was, an open hole. And there sat Eutychus in an open hole. Now, we also read in verse number 9 that he was three stories up. You read that at the end of verse 9. He fell down from the third loft. Three stories, I'm no bricklayer. Someone else could maybe tell you better. Three stories, it's roughly 10 meters high. I was Googling the other day, and most fatalities from a fall are from around 10 meters or more. And so this young man, there he is. He's on the precipice of a sure and certain fatal drop. And it's there that he's drifting and he's not paying attention. You know, I can imagine some lady maybe walking by that house and hearing the voice of the Apostle Paul preaching and looking up and seeing Eutychus teetering and tottering over the edge of that window and saying, wake up, Eutychus! Eutychus, you're in great danger. Eutychus, you need to awaken yourself. You need to stir yourself. You need to be saved, Eutychus. And yet, isn't that the very message that I hope to bring tonight? Because young person, older person, if you're outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in no better position than Eutychus was in. Eutychus was in that dangerous, precarious position where at any moment he could be taken. At any moment he could fall. And he wasn't ready for the fall. Young person, older person alike, if you're here outside of Christ, At any moment, the Lord could call you into eternity. At any moment, the Lord could usher you in to face the righteous judge of all the earth. And I ask you this, are you ready to go? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Or are you in the dangerous position just as Eutychus was in? Oh, my friend, you're in a dangerous position tonight. You're standing, sleeping on the precipice of hell. Oh, waken up. Make haste to fly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, listen to me. Christ can save you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how you've failed Him. It doesn't matter how you've sinned. Jesus Christ is faithful and strong and mighty to save. And He can save your never dying soul tonight. Waken up and fly to Him. But not only was it a deep sleep and a dangerous sleep, it was also a deadly sleep. Proverbs chapter 6 and the verse number 10 says these words, "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come." And so it was for Eutychus. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little rest, and so his poverty came, his destruction came. He slept when he should have been awake, and that mistake cost him his life. I believe in my heart of hearts that what the devil wants most of all in our churches is for young people and older people alike to be asleep to the things of God, to be apathetic, to be uncaring, to hear the gospel message and a preacher plead with you to call out upon the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved, and then to simply, like Pilate, wash your hands and walk out. The devil loves that. In fact, Martin Luther, the great reformer, he used to tell a story when he spoke to boys and girls and children. And he told this little story. He said that one day the devil was holding court in hell. And he brought his demons before him and he asked, "How have you annoyed the people of God today?" One of those little demons, he said to the devil, "Well, you know, there was a band of Christians in a house and they were having a meeting and I made the house fall down and I killed them all." So the devil said to that demon, "Sure, what odds? They were all saved. You've just brought them to heaven." And the next demon, he said, "Well, there was a group of Christians and they were on a boat in the middle of the sea and I sent all these waves and they were worried and they were anxious and they were afraid." The devil says, "What odds? They were trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if their lives were taken, they'd go to be with Him." And then the last little demon came. The devil asked, "What have you done?" And he said, "I made Christian fall asleep." And Luther said the devil rejoiced. And Luther's message to young people was simply this: the devil has no greater joy than to see you uncaring about your soul. To see you just drifting through life. Oh, you have time for school, you have time for relationships, you have time for all these other things, but your soul, your never-dying soul, neglected, forgotten about, not caring about eternity. I wonder, young person, older person, are you asleep in the lap of Satan tonight? Well, Isaiah chapter 60 in the verse number 1 says this, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come." And Isaiah was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Arise from your sleep. Arise from your slumber, because Jesus Christ has come to save you. Young person, older person, Jesus Christ can give you the peace that the world could never give, and a peace it cannot take away. Oh, don't sleep through your life, young people. Don't waste away the years. Don't drift or switch off when the preaching starts and think, "Well, your salvation, your gospel, it's fine for you, but I'm different." My friend, you're not. You're a sinner and you need to come to Christ. Come and give your life to Him tonight. Plead with Him to save you. And so we've seen the sleep of this young man. But I also want you to see the sorrow over this young man. The sorrow over this young man. Death in the life of a young person always brings great grief, great sadness to communities. Names such as Noah Donohoe and James Bulger and Rhys Jones, they stand out in our minds and in our hearts, even in our own little denomination. We think of Matthew Arnold, We think of Samuel Crawford, the great tragedies of these passings, young people who have lost their lives. Understandably, on this occasion, there was great sorrow over Eutychus, a man described in verse number 9 as a young man, and yet now he had gone out into eternity. And I want us to think about the sorrow that was present there at the death of Eutychus. I want you firstly to see that his death was unexpected. That's why there was sorrow. Because firstly, his death was unexpected. I've been pastoring a man. He has been unwell for quite some time. And just early last week, he passed from this scene of time. And I say it very graciously, it was no real shock to the family. He had been unwell for quite a season. He had been on a steady decline downwards. His breathing became more labored. His organs were shutting down. And the man passed from this scene of time. And it was no surprise. It was no shock. But when a young person dies, it's unexpected. And Scripture says in verse 9 that this man was young. He's in the prime of his life. He's healthy, he's active. And yet, his health, his activity, the fact that he was in his prime, it didn't prevent him from being but a step from death. A young person, I want you to remember that. Don't rely on your youth for a long life. Don't think just because you're young, death will never knock on your door. We know not what a day may bring forth. You think of that rich farmer of whom the Lord spoke about, oh, I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater. Any farmer worth his salt will tell you, you don't pull down a barn and build another barn overnight. You do it over years. You do it over a great span of time. This man was planning to live for many more years. What did the Lord say to him? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. None of us know when we're going to pass from this scene of time. It could be at a ripe old age, and we pray it is. But like Eutychus, you could be taken from this scene of time, young people, in the prime of your youth. A couple of years ago, Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, passed away unexpectedly. There was a very rich man, a very young man, a very athletic man, a man with a family, a man on the rise. And yet in a freak accident, taken from this scene of time. We saw Chadwick Boseman, Hollywood actor. Again, all of the money and fame and popularity in the world, and yet that man was taken from this scene of time at the age of 43. I've mentioned already Matthew Arnold and Samuel Crawford, two young men connected to our denomination in their 20s, and yet taken and gone out into eternity. We know not when we shall go to meet the Lord. It may be in your 80s or 90s, maybe tomorrow. But young people, everybody here, how important it is that we're ready to go. How crucial it is that we are ready to go to meet the Lord, that we don't promise ourselves tomorrow. You know, whenever you say, no, I'll get saved another day. And I said that for many years as a young unbeliever. I'll get saved when I'm older. Do you know what you're essentially saying? God owes me another opportunity. God owes me another opportunity to be saved. Listen, folks, God owes you nothing. He offers you everything, but he owes you nothing. You need to come now while it is yet day. Don't promise yourself tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Young people, don't leave it one day longer. Come tonight and give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. His death was unexpected. His death was also untreatable. His death was untreatable. Some people have fallen from greater heights than Eutychus, and they've maybe even died for a few minutes, and yet the doctors work on them, the defibrillators come out, and that person is revived, and they take life again. I want you to remember who wrote the book of Acts. The writer of the book of Acts was a doctor. His name was Luke. Luke knew the human body. He knew the intricacies and the minutiae of the human body. He was an expert in anatomy, an expert in trauma. What does he write as he looks down at Eutychus and as he recalls this occasion. Look at verse number 9. Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, and Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. That's the prognosis of the doctor. That's the doctor's final say. That's the calling at the end of the procedure. Time of death. Midnight. My friend, no treatment was now going to work. The condition was too far gone, irrevocable. Eutychus, you might say, was without hope. And young person, make no mistake. There's coming a day when each and every one of us shall die. We'll pass from this scene of time. We don't like to think about it. But the day will come. But the scripture says it's appointed unto us once to die. But after this, the judgment. And if you come to stand before God, and you've never been saved through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, just like Eutychus, there's nothing can be done. There's nothing can be done. There's nothing can be said. There's no second chances when you go to stand before God. It'll be too late for you 5 seconds after you die. Too late for you when you close your eyes in this scene of time, when you go out into eternity. Listen, young people, there's no more opportunities when you're standing before the righteous judge. As soon as you leave this scene of time, it's too late. So how important it is that now, while the Lord has given you health, while the Lord has given you youth, while the Lord has given you breath in your body, that you remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That you cry out for the atoning mercy through the cleansing blood of Christ. One day it will be too late and there'll be nothing more can be done for you. But tonight the door of grace is open wide. Tonight the Lord bids you come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Saving rest. My friends, seek the Lord while he is to be found and call upon him while he is near. His death was untreatable. And then I also want you to think about how his death was unthinkable. His death was unthinkable. Obviously, the death of Eutychus disrupted the preaching that night. Paul didn't continue the sermon. There's a great clamor, a great noise is made, a whole scene erupts. And when Paul speaks, he says in verse number 10, "Trouble not yourselves." Now, that word, trouble not, the Greek word that's used there in the original Greek, it's also used in Acts 17 and the verse number 5. And there, the word is uproar. There was a riot going on. And the word uproar is used, but it's the same word used here. Paul is saying, don't make such a riot. Don't make such a clamor. Don't make such a noise. It's evident then when Eutychus died, there was a great cry went up. There was a great call of distress. There was a great call of sorrow and a great noise of tragedy. But what had happened, what had just taken place for Eutychus was unthinkable in the eyes of those who looked upon him. The deaths of young people are always a tragedy. Always a tragedy. But you know what the greatest tragedies are? When a young person dies outside of Christ. That is unthinkable. Unthinkable. When a young person dies, having sat in gospel meetings as you have sat, and yet they pass away, what a most horrific thing it is for a young soul to pass into the eternal fires of hell. I believe that was the cause of David's sorrow. You'll remember how he had a son named Absalom. A son that caused him nothing but grief and anxiety and sorrow all the days of his life. And yet when Absalom dies, do you recall how David cried, "Oh, Absalom, my son, would to God that I had died for thee." Because David knew, my young son is in the fires of hell tonight. What a thing most unthinkable it is to imagine young people in hell. Oh, I trust there would never be such a sorrow here. When a young person goes out to meet the Lord and they're not ready, we on earth would be right in making a clamor and a riot and a great lament. I trust we'll never need to. that tonight, being awakened to your urgent need of Christ, you'd make haste to the man of Calvary who gave himself to the cross, who shed his blood, and that you would cry, Lord, wash me, save me. He has promised that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Young person, older person, if the Lord's not going to cast you out, what's he going to do? He's going to bring you in. He's going to receive you unto himself. My friend, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He receiveth sinners. Do you remember how the Pharisees said that? Luke 15. They wanted to annoy the Lord. They wanted to blacken the name of the Lord. So what did they say? This man receiveth sinners. Praise God. Jesus receives sinners. What a marvelous verse that is. Young person, older person, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, for this man receiveth sinners. And then lastly, we thought about the sleep of this young man. We thought about the sorrow over this young man. I want you in the final place to think about the salvation for this young man. The salvation for this young man. You know, we've said already, the situation's hopeless. There's the dead, limp, lifeless, broken body of Eutychus. Eutychus could do nothing to save himself. Eutychus couldn't have a word with himself and rally round and all of a sudden take life again. He was gone. And young people, when you think of Eutychus and you think of that lifeless body, that's how you stand before God. You can't just save yourself. You can't just suddenly turn from being unsaved to saved. You can't suddenly make yourself right before God. And yet what we find in the life of Eutychus is that mercy stepped in. And it was mercy made the difference. Because the Apostle Paul, through the infilling of God the Holy Ghost, raised this young man back to life again. And what a picture it is, what a little image and snapshot it is of what the Lord is able to do for you tonight. Again, there's three little things I want you to remember. I want you firstly to see that this was a loving salvation. You know, Paul wasn't constrained to help Eutychus. Do you notice that? Nobody asked Paul to go to Eutychus. Paul came down of his own volition. He came down because he wanted to. He volunteered to go to Eutychus out of love and out of mercy and out of grace, seeing the condition of this man. He went down to him, verse 10. That's a very interesting word as well. Verse 10, we read, Paul went down. Now, that Greek word, went down, is the same Greek word used by Jesus Christ in John 6:38, when he said, I came down from heaven. Christ said, I came down, and the same words used, Paul came down. Now you think of the parallel there. Paul did not have to go to Eutychus. Nobody told him, Paul, you must go. Paul, it's commanded of you to go. Paul, you can do nothing else but go. Paul could have walked away. He could have gone on with his missionary endeavors and not worried a single thing about Eutychus. Sure, what was Eutychus to him anyway? And yet young people, older people alike, the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't have to come down to this world. Nobody was forcing Christ to come in, to be born of the Virgin Mary, to live 33 years of spotless purity, and to die upon the cross of Calvary. Nobody forced Christ into this world. Nobody had twisted Christ's arm and pushed him to come down into this world. Christ was not constrained. Why did Christ come to this world? Because Christ loves sinners. And he came in love, and he came in mercy, and he came in grace. Did we not sing in that hymn? In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. Oh, you were nothing to Christ. You're but a worm in the sight of God, less than a worm, and yet he loved you. And he chose to come into this world to die upon the cross for your sin and to bear the nails for your iniquities. Even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Notice not only that Paul went down to him, but also we read that he embraced him in verse 10. Do you notice that? He embraced him. You know, by Hebrew law, that made Paul unclean. The Jews were not allowed to touch a dead body. In fact, if you touched a dead body, you were deemed as unclean as the dead body was. and he had to go through a religious cleansing. Paul took on uncleanness by going to see Eutychus. You know, when I think of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he came down for me and how he came down for sinners, do we not have to say that he took our uncleanness? He took our guilt, he took our sins and our sorrows, and he made them his very own. And he bore that burden to Calvary. And he suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous and how wonderful the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. I'll tell you something else. Paul didn't charge a fee. A doctor might have. You get a doctor to come and look at Eutychus, he would show all the care and compassion in the world, and then he'd hand the family a bill. Not Paul. He simply went to heal this man without money and without price and left the next day for his missionary endeavors. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he justifies freely by his grace. He says, come ye without money and without price. The Lord Jesus Christ saves freely through the shedding of his precious blood. And young people, older people alike, I want you to realize that you have a loving Savior. A loving Savior, all too ready to forgive, to pardon, and to cleanse. In fact, I'll tell you this, Jesus Christ is more ready to save than you are to call upon him. More ready to save you than you are to repent. Oh, my friend, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Plead with him this very night. What a loving God you have, that he'll save you and he'll wash your heart from sin. It was a loving salvation. It was also a life-giving salvation. In verse number 10, we find that the life of Eutychus returned to him. He embraced him. He said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. What a miracle. The dead was made to live again. The dead breathed again. And you know, the Bible tells us, Ephesians 2 verse 1, that we are dead in trespasses and in sins. We have a dead soul, a dead heart. Oh, you might be walking about, you might be living and breathing, talking, conversing, earning a living, earning a wage, but you're dead spiritually. We all are. And yet that verse in Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, you hath he quickened, which were dead in trespasses and sins. That word quickened meaning made alive. You hath he revived, given life to, who once were dead in your sins. And my friend, when the Lord Jesus Christ saves you, he gives you life. You've never lived till you've come to Jesus. He said in John 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. My friend, there's life in Jesus Christ for you. Outside of Christ, I tell you this, there's only deadness. There's only dryness. There's only coldness outside of the Lord. But in Christ, there's life. There's abundant life. Life far more than you've ever known before. Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ this very night? Oh, young people, maybe the nomenclature of the day, the vernacular of your friends, let's live our best life. Let's live our best life. Let's have all the experiences we can fill our lives with. Let me tell you, you've never lived a day until you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's made you alive through the cleansing and application of his precious blood. And then I want you to notice this was a lasting salvation. It was a lasting salvation. Some people can endure some pretty grave and gruesome injuries. And they rally round, they run on the adrenaline for another day or two. And then the body begins to shut down. The trauma and the impact of what they've been through eventually claims their life in a very short span of time. But not Eutychus. Not Eutychus. The touch of God upon his life was full and complete and total. It reversed the effects of the trauma that he had been through. Look at verse number 12. Some time has passed, and there we read, they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. This was a young man who didn't just breathe a few more breaths and then pass away again, but a young man who lived on. You may say for many more years. You know, the Lord doesn't promise just to save you for a moment, to save you for a day or two, to save you until you sin again, and then you'll be lost again, and you have to get saved again. That's not what the Lord does. He saves with a lasting salvation. Paul could ask the question in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of God? He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friend, Jesus Christ has that love tonight. He can save you with a lasting salvation. Oh, young person, turn away from sin and turn to Jesus Christ this very night. What lessons do we learn from Eutychus in closing? Well, we learn, friends, that there is hope for those who were dead in sin. There is hope for those who were sleeping through life without any means of saving themselves. And it's all found not in Paul, but in the Christ of God. The Christ who gave his body and blood at the cross of Calvary. How do we respond to a message like this? I say it very bluntly. You need to waken up. You need to take this seriously. You have a soul that needs to be saved. Don't live your life in neutral. Don't live your life on cruise control, not really taking matters seriously. But waking up to the fact that one day you're going to stand before God. And are you ready to go? Are you ready to meet with him? Oh, you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come as you are. Come with all your sin. Come with all your baggage. Come with all your guilt. Come with all your shame. Come broken and battered and bruised. Come as you are, but my friend, come to Jesus and cry, Lord, save my never dying soul. Look at verse 12 again. Once there was chaos, coldness, and catastrophe, and now there's comfort. They were not a little comforted. In other words, they were greatly comforted. There's nothing like being a child of God. Nothing like being the Lord's child. No joy like the joy of sins forgiven. No comfort like knowing the saving grace of God. Eutychus was a man who knew all about it. Young person, older person alike, what do you know of the saving mercy of Christ? I wonder today, will you come to the Savior? Will you delay the matter to another time? My friend, tomorrow, in an hour's time, it could be too late. Come now, come to Jesus Christ while it is yet day, and remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Amen, and we trust that the Lord will bless these few thoughts to our heart.